From the Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Morning, Troy. How are you?
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Excellent.
Very well.
What's going on apart from Tess counting down the time until she goes home?
Oh, Troy, don't give that away to the listeners. Oh, that's okay. Not true.
Tess is absolutely soldiering through as well. Tess is holding the fort down.
Guys, come on.
Tess also speaks for the people because everybody's sick at the moment as well. So Tess is for the...
Everyone in the office is sick, so watch out, Rachel.
Watch out.
Watch out, Troy. Troy didn't get sick for 20 years.
Yeah, I'm still not sure that that's true.
He was
just telling us. That is wild.
Yeah.
That is pretty impressive. What have you brought up for us this morning, though, Troy?
Well, okay, so this week we've got a reissue of a compilation. We've got a brand new compilation. We've got a brand new LP.
Fantastic.
Now, this first one we're going to go for is... a compilation which initially came out in the year 2000.
Oh.
Yeah. And it is entitled, confusingly enough to Tess, but the rest of us will get it.
Oh, Troy.
That
ouch.
Is so untrue. I definitely did not get that either.
Disco, not disco.
Disco, not disco. Nah, that flew
well,
by me
disco,
as well.
It's disco, but it's not disco.
It's disco, but it's not disco.
It might have been played in a disco, but it wasn't specifically disco music. I think that...
Let's check it out.
What it is New York stuff that was played in the New York discos sort of about 80, 81.
All right.
And not specifically what you would categorise as disco.
Disco music.
But also I think it's a kind of a nod to the group Was Not Was who appear on this.
So which track are we going to listen to?
Well, we're going to listen to one of the...
Oh, there it is.
This is pretty disco, I have to say.
Well, yes and no. Like, this here is the 12-inch re-edit that came out. And the re-edit just took this bass and drums part and, like, extended it a couple of times.
So who's this?
This is the great, the immortal Yoko Ono.
So this is the first track?
This is the first track. This one here is called Walking on Thin Ice. It came out in 1981 initially.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
What about you, Troy?
I love it.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Yoko Ono, really?
A little bit, not massively, but...
I always came at her through her performance art more than her sound.
Of course.
What a voice, though.
The sound of this track compared to the rest of the LP?
Well, it's all sort of this time. Like, you have three things here that are Arthur Russell in various guises.
Yeah.
You've got a Liquid doing Cavern, which is that thing that became White Lines by Grandmaster Flash.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it's all this kind of dance floor friendly but somewhat left field kind of sound.
There's a lot of good stuff on here.
Tell us.
Don Cherry,
yeah.
I Walk, that's cool.
That's amazing.
Liquid, as you just said. There's also Loose Joints,
which
Tell
is,
You.
That's Arthur Russell.
That's Arthur Russell. So the other two Arthur Russells, is that Dinosaur?
Correct.
And Indian Ocean.
That's right.
There we go. There's also some Common Sense. Was Not Was. I'm not familiar with Was Not Was.
I'm not surprised.
Rude.
No, that's not a comment on you. It's a comment on the relative longevity of Was Not Was.
Right, okay.
Listen now.
This is great.
I feel like you can't help but bop.
Yeah, we're all
know?
Sort of bopping. Also, Nikki Ciano? Who's that?
Don't know. Only know in context of actually this compilation and another compilation.
What's the other compilation? Can't think.
Mutant Disco, I think it is.
Oh, okay. Mutant, I see, like, disco, not disco, mutant disco.
There you
it's
go.
Got, like, a bit of a vibe there.
So when Strut Records, who are, of course, based in Britain, put this out in 2000... it was really a time that was ripe for rediscovery, this sort of thing. And this was before all of that stuff came up, like the Rapture and all of that sort of punk disco stuff or whatever it was called in the beginning of the 2000s.
ESG and stuff at the end of the...
Someone's texted in and said, this sounds suspiciously like Abracadabra.
This vocal bit's great.
Yeah.
Cool. There's also some Ian Drury on here as well.
Yeah.
Ian Drury and the Seven Seas Players.
Okay, now that's because Ian Drury at that point left the Blockheads in Britain, went to Nassau and recorded with Sly and Robbie. And that's why they were the Seven Seas Players.
Very cool.
But this here, this is probably one of the most accessible of Yoko's songs. It's also one of the greats, I think. It's not without tragedy. The night that this song was finished, her husband was murdered.
Really? Is that? Wow.
Yeah, they were coming back from the studio having finished
this. She'd finished this song.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And did that throw it into the limelight a little bit as a song, or is that just more sort of two parallel things?
Well, it did because of who her husband was.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, but...
I like that we haven't named him.
I like this bit.
For trying to walk across the lake. Of course it was winter, when all this was ice. That's a terrible thing to do, you know. They say the lake is as big as the ocean. I wonder if she knew about it.
So, I mean, you can hear the players on this tune. Andy Newmark was the drummer. One of the guitar players was Earl Slick.
Okay.
Who, of course, you know from Dave Bowie's stuff. Hugh McCracken plays guitar as well, I think. But I think this whole thing is cool, and it really does sound sort of like you would want 1981 to sound.
Yeah, yeah. Like a great movie set in that time might pull a few of these songs in, you reckon?
I think so.
This is awesome. I'm really enjoying this. So this particular track, to remind people, is Yoko Ono Walking on Thin Ice, the re-edit.
Yeah, which did come out in 81. It was just basically the 12-inch version of it.
Completed the night before John Lennon was killed. That's pretty hectic.
Yep. No, the night of.
Oh, the night he
was... They came home from the studio and the assassin was waiting outside their apartment.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah.
Great track, that one.
It is. The whole comp is really cool. I'm glad to see it back in print.
It's a nice cover as well. I mean, like the big block colours.
Yeah.
Yellow.
Yellow, big face.
I think you're supposed to like kind of look at it and go, oh, New York.
Because Andy Warhol.
Warhol. I kind of agree. Some of Yoko's more of the art things she did, they're actually my favourite. Records like Fly.
That's a great one. I do know that. That's kind of the end I'm more familiar with. Shall we pull up the second song now?
No, let's make this the second. Oh. Let's make the other one the second song.
We've paused the other one. We're gonna have to play the Sun-O one because we've done this complicated thing.
All right, let's do it then.
The complicated thing that we've done is.
12 minute
long song.
Yep, and we've decided we're not going to go right from the beginning of this song.
Ooh, here we go.
This is the 8th LP from the duo known as Sun, or people call them Sun-O because of that.
Because of the O in the brackets.
I don't mind.
It really came in quite hot there, didn't it?
It did come in hot.
So we're about 3.5 minutes into the track, because it is a 12 minute track.
Now, this... like I said, it's the 8th record they've done. I think the major difference between this and the ones they've done before is that basically the sound you're hearing now is the sound of them live in the studio. They didn't do guitar overdubs. Like they usually might have a million guitar overdubs. This they did at Albini's Electrical Studios in Chicago, and it was basically as it went down.
The whole LP is that way?
Took them, I think it took them like 2 weeks to do the album, whereas the album before this might have taken a few years, if I remember correctly. So this group, are you familiar with this group?
Only through the stuff they did with Scott Walker.
That's my favourite Sun record is the one with Scott Walker.
that's my only entry point there, which is probably why I sort of, I know, this is interesting.
Now we have Hilda singing.
Now, who's Hilda?
She's an Icelandic classical musician that was in... Remember that band Moon from Iceland?
Nah.
No? Do you remember Kría Brekken? Do you know who that is? Okay. Well, Hilda is an Icelandic musician. H-I-L-D-U-R. What's her last name? It's very similar to Björk's last name, but it isn't. Could be Goodman's daughter or something.
And has she worked with Sana before?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah.
Usually at this point, when they have vocals on a record, it's that guy Attila out of Mayhem doing his opera sort of stuff.
I like this. This is nice, kind of delicate, a little bit creepy.
Yeah.
It's quite gritty.
Yeah. So are the vocals live as well, or is that an overdub?
That might be overdub, but I don't really know. But basically, it's that Sun being like two guitars. That all of that stuff is just as it went down.
Mm-hmm.
So the album is called Life Metal.
Life Metal.
I was gonna say that before when you held it up and you were talking about it being live. I was like, that is a title.
Life. I'm assuming it's some kind of joke on death metal. Life Metal.
Life Metal. Is that the evangelical version or something?
Well, I imagine that. That would just be dismal. But yeah, this record was, it came out on, in this country, it came out on CD on Record Store Day, because it was a Record Store Day release first.
This year's Record Store Day. Yeah.
But then they decided, we can't let the rest of the world have it. The USO, there wasn't enough, you know,
right,
the demand was so big.
Yeah.
And now we've got it in store. It's an extremely heavyweight double vinyl album.
It feels heavy.
The one we're looking at here is, in fact, an edition of 1,100 rust-coloured.
Nice.
Rust-coloured vinyl. But this group here, it's... you're saying that you knew them in terms of Scott Walker. And,
yes.
I think they've been around about 20-odd years or something. And I don't have any time for categories and genres. It doesn't... I'm pretty sure that Sun don't go into the studio and go, right, let's do some more of our insert genre here.
Yeah,
they
don't.
They just go and do what they do.
Do the thing they want to do. Yeah.
I suppose we file this in the metal section of the record store.
Yeah, I guess so.
But is it metal? I don't know. Maybe.
My knowledge of metal music is not as probably large as yours.
Well, my knowledge of metal music is very minimal.
But this feels softer.
Well, I don't know. Does it?
It's gritty, but it's not. Is it not as fast? Feels.
I don't know whether metal has to be fast, but
not necessarily. But you know,
we're all just spitballing here. Tez and I are like metal, rock on. This is cool though. I really like this vocal bit.
Yeah.
Oh.
See, to me, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just it speaks to me. But what I hear in this is more. In terms of classical or folk music.
Yeah.
And there is...
I can see that.
You know, the repetition, the long sustains on things, the fact that it, rather than a riff, it's a movement that goes through something, but it's pretty good.
Those are the words I meant to use.
Oh, they were exactly
right. That's what I was thinking.
And in fact, you would have said them had you not been counting down
exactly
the time
till
you go home ill.
Right. Hey, that's not fair.
No, it's not.
What's this track called? Is
this one here. Read it out to me.
Between Sleipnir's Breaths? There we go. I was hoping you would say it so I wouldn't have to guess, but Sleipnir.
I guess that's what it is. Now, the other thing about this is this will talk to you, is there's four... The artwork is four different panels by the same artist.
Oh, that's cool. It's sort of like big dramatic cloud formations.
Yeah, I like when you can look at a record cover and go, yeah, that's what this sounds like.
Yeah, it is. What you're hearing at home, guys, is exactly
what this record cover
looks like. Big, red, moody clouds.
Do you like this or you don't like this?
I do like this, actually.
Yeah.
I think I'd have to be in the right kind of headspace to listen to it, but I think it's that vocal bit is really pulling me into it.
Okay, now if you thought of that,
it feels like an incantation or something.
Yeah, which is what I mean, like in the folk music sort
of
style.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I think that this record is accessible enough for pretty much anyone, wherever you're coming from, to be able to listen to and appreciate.
Mm. You know? I think if you'd told me it was called life metal before we played it,
I might have laughed.
No, I think I might have been like, I think I might have had an idea of what it was in my head. That isn't exactly what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is good though. So this is Sun. The album is called Life Metal.
Yep.
And Between Sleepner's Breaths is the name of the track. Should we play our next one, do you reckon?
Yeah, let's go. Oh,
should we talk about it first or should we get straight into it?
No, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
The next thing we got is a compilation, another compilation. This is a newly put together compilation entitled Sad About the Times.
Sad About the Times.
Look at this!
That feels very fitting.
Wait, look at this!
This is fantastic. There's very psychedelic cartoons on the front of this album.
Yeah. I don't even know if you can describe it. It's pink, though.
It's pink.
It's very pink.
Yeah.
There's a big rabbit.
It looks like this could have been put together in the early 1970s.
Yeah.
It wasn't. This is a new picture as well.
All right.
But yeah, it's cool. Now, what this record is, remember last week we talked about soft rock and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now what this is a collection of songs. Some of them sort of veer towards that. And it's basically the kind of things which either were or could have been on the radio but never became big successes.
Okay, right.
In the period from about 1970 to 72.
Okay, so it's a new compilation of older tunes.
Of really old tunes.
Really old tunes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know Sarah's very excited about the track you've selected.
I bet.
Yeah.
Now the track.
Did you pick that already before you came in?
Well, no. That to me is the one that just jumps out.
Yeah.
It's by Norma Tanaga. Now, she's one of the better known names on this record, and even that name is not that well known.
Yeah, yeah.
She had like a novelty hit in 1966 with a tune called what's it called? Walking My Dog Called Cat, or Walking My Cat Called Dog.
I think that rings a bell. I couldn't tell you what it sounds like.
It's been covered by a lot of people.
Maybe that's why.
Even Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers did it, but this one here, Illusion. This comes from 1972. She put out an album called It Wouldn't Hurt If You Smiled, or something. I think that's the title.
Yeah. I love this. I think this is great. Time is an illusion. My confusion takes away from me the pleasure of your
smile, the way you used to smile. This is really nice.
So this kind of Latin thing is what you'd expect from Astrid Gilberto a few years before. Norma Tanaga, she had, at this point, she'd moved back from Britain. She'd moved to Britain and she was Dusty Springfield's partner.
Oh, well, that makes a lot of sense.
For 5 years, those two were together. She wrote some songs for Dusty, but...
Now I know why I recognise her name. I was like, this is ringing a bell. Now I know why.
Yeah.
You can hear that Dusty Springfield sort of vibe in there.
I don't know.
I think you can.
To me, I hear more of a Stereo Lab vibe.
Fair enough. Like a pinwheel flying in the sky. Supposition, life's condition takes away from me the pleasure of your arms, the loving in your eyes. Mystical delusion. I like the there's like a rabbit with like a little hippie vest on.
Oh, with
and
a
little
peace
glasses
symbol on it?
With a peace symbol on it. No, it's got a smiley face on this particular one.
Oh, okay.
There's also a little rat or a mole maybe wearing wearing headphones.
Yeah, he might just be a big mouse.
A big mouse.
Look
who
knows? He's listening to. He's listening to a reel-to-reel tape.
Love it.
Very cute
album cover.
This is actually just the other people who are on it. It's not written on there, so I had to photocopy this. Actually, I photocopied this on our jukebox at work. You can see there. So the other people on this, there's a lot of stuff which is kind of like sub James Taylor-ish. But it all has, I think it says on the sticker, it's a different kind of blue or something. Because it's all, you know, there's kind of sadness to all these songs. But you have people like such earth-shattering names as Boz Metzdorf.
Wow.
And Dennis Stoner. And Art Lone. Willow. Now, there's one I had heard of, Willow. Lloyd Parata, of course. But it's really pretty much a collection of unknown or under-celebrated tunes from the early 70s. But isn't this one great?
This one's awesome. Norma Tanaga.
Yeah.
I feel like Amelia will be quite into this.
I think so too.
If she's not already.
So all of these are available from Southbound now?
Yes, every single one of them is on the shelves at Southbound as we speak.
Recap the names of the LPs.
This one here is a compilation that Kamado have put out. It's entitled Sad About the Times.
Sad About the Times.
Sad About the Times. Sun, before that, Life Metal, their brand new album. I don't know how many. I think it's their eighth album. If you don't, well, even if you do count the Scott Walker, maybe. and we started off with the Yoko Ono track, which features on the Strut compilation, which has now been reissued after 20 years. The compilation is entitled Disco Not Disco. Do you know what that means now, Tess?
Yes, I understand it completely. I'm very clear.
I think now I don't understand anymore, but okay.
I think we've all lost the meaning of it there. But
thanks,
very,
Troy.
Very fantastic. Thanks for bringing those up today, Troy.
Nice one. We'll see you in the shop.
See you in the shop.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street.